This is Norman Dredge speaking from the Wilson Street Chapel, London. I would like to think for a few moments of the guidance of God. If you will turn with me to the book of the Acts and chapter 16, you will find that Paul, having chosen Silas as his companion, a man who had already hazarded his life before the Lord Jesus Christ, commences his second missionary journey. They travel overland, this time through Syria and Cilicia, and arrive at Derbe first. Here, Timothy is added to their company, and the three of them make the dangerous journey to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. How their encouragement must have strengthened those gallant groups of believers in the risen Christ and made firm their faith. Then in verses 6 to 8, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Here were two shut doors. Both north and south roads were barred before them. If they were not to return from where they had come from, that only left open the road westwards to the seashore at Troas. That way was open, and eventually they reached this port, which lies about 30 miles south of the Dardanelles. Could it be that Paul was to plant the banner of the cross on European soil? The Lord's endorsement of this tremendous leap forward was given to him there. Not only that, but Luke was at this place, and so he meets with them there, with that terrible affliction that Paul had to put up with throughout his ministry. The presence of Luke, with his medical knowledge, must have been a tremendous help to him. The Lord had led him straight to his faithful friend. How wondrously the Lord leads his children. In the book of Exodus, we find the positive leading of the Lord. In the book of Psalms, there are countless references to this. May we just turn for a minute to the book of Psalms, Psalm 78. And verse 14. Psalm 78 and verse 14. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. And again in verse 53, and he led them on safely, so that they feared not. And again in verse 72, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Right from the commencement of these people's journey from Egypt, the Lord had led his people. May we just turn for a moment to Exodus and see there in chapter 13, the book of Exodus, and chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before his people. Another staggering thing we find in this book of Exodus is that this leading was a personal affair. In Exodus chapter 33, in Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 and 15, the Lord speaking to Moses says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." No wonder Moses answered, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." To Israel also this leading was manifested by an angel, but God uses lowlier means than this, for in Psalm 77 we read that it was Moses who led these people on. So God used a man to do this wonderful journey through the wilderness into their inheritance. We can assuredly say that the leading of the Lord is according to the need. It was a cloud by day and a fire by night for the children of Israel. But whatever the mode of manifestation, the Lord's personal presence is the blessed fact. The leading out was but a part of their redemption. Its completion was fulfilled in their being led in to their inheritance. It is the Good Shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, who as the Risen One leads them in green pastures for his name's sake. The pillar of cloud regulated all Israel's journey. The time when and the place where being decided by the Lord alone. In Numbers chapter 9, how well is this put? God's leading, once again beautifully illustrated for his people. And also in Psalm 43, where we have these words, "Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me." Paul too, in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The whole of the 40 years in the wilderness, with their many trials, called for patience and trust. Their privations and sufferings were all a part of the Lord's leading. These were all to prove or to test the people, to make them know that man does not live by bread alone. One instance of this proving is seen in Exodus chapter 15, when the lesson of suffering before glory is illustrated, of no cross, no crown, summed up in the fact that at Marah there was bitterness, but at Elim there was blessing. After the glow of triumph and the sense of victory of crossing the waters in chapter 14 of Exodus comes the anticlimax of chapter 15. "And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water." At once the feeling of mistrust that evidences itself in murmuring, that grew and produced the fearful fruit of unbelief. They remembered Egypt, and not the Lord's works in delivering them and leading them out. Some remembrances are fatal, some forgetfulness desirable. It is indeed a good thing to remember the lesson that Israel learnt at Marah. There is one sweetener for the bitterness of the wilderness journey, and that is the cross of Christ, the tree cast into the waters where he proved them. As soon as the lesson of Marah had been given, and the people proved, as soon as they realized that the waters of the wilderness must ever be bitter, apart from the Lord, their healer, then the burning sand was exchanged for the delightful shade of Elim's palm trees, and the wells of Elim take the place of the bitterness of the waters of Marah. This experience is common to us all. And while it is the constant exercise and prayer of the child of God that he may continually be led of the Lord, it is sometimes a difficult and a humbling experience. Many of us are sometimes baffled and perplexed by the apparent strangeness and bitterness of the road. Yet it is a blessed thing to know that his presence is there with us, and that his faithfulness never fails. Assurance comes to those who really trust him that he guides us by the application of his word. Have not we the knowledge of this? When we read, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." This lamp unto our feet will settle for us the Lord's will as we stand at the crossroads. That road seems attractive, but it leads us in a direction when compared with this. It will be much more difficult to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. That is the Lord's guidance. And it must be this road for us. The Lord closed the roads south and north for Paul, and unless he went back and retraced his steps, the only road left was the western route to Troas, and that was the way he went, and that was the way the Lord intended him to go. The Lord was evidently testing his servant by closing the doors that seemed the best in his own opinion. So don't let us be cast down if doors are closed to us in our efforts to serve him. He knows best. And providing we remain faithful and continue to put our trust in him, he will open the way in his own good time. God led Paul to a prison in Rome. Could he be of the slightest use, confined right in the heart of that mighty heathen empire? Yet it was that seemingly impregnable Roman empire that crumbled and fell. Sin sapped its strength and it passed into decadence and oblivion. While the words the prisoner wrote, not as the prisoner of Rome, but as the prisoner of the Lord, live on. His words were God's words. They are indestructible, alive and vital to all who seek to know what is the mystery, the truth for today, made known by God and to this faithful servant in that Roman jail.